Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. CBS Sports
Radio. Live from CBS Radio Studios in New York City, it's the DA Show with your host, Damon Amendolara. Featuring producer Mraz and the musical sounds of the Zap Zap Orchestra. Now, ladies and gentlemen, here's DA.
Oh, baby. Well, it's not exactly DA. It's Mraz. It's Bogus here on the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio, coast to coast, Sirius XM 158, free on the Odyssey app, on Twitch, twitch.tv/CBS Sports Radio. Let's have at it, baby. Our next guest, it's NBA Draft Day, folks. Adam Finkelstein is the director of scouting for 24/7 Sports. He's a college basketball insider for CBS Sports HQ. And you can watch CBS Sports HQ's coverage of the NBA Draft beginning at 7 p.m. Eastern tonight, where Adam, alongside Matt Norlander, Avery Johnson, and Gary Parrish, and Tim Doyle, will provide instant pick analysis and break down the storylines all night long. Adam, welcome aboard, man. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Of course. So let's start here. Obviously, you're a director of scouting 24/7 Sports. You've done a lot of college basketball work. But here we are, top half of the draft, or really the top, you know, six or so picks projected right now. Outside of Brandon Miller, not a lot of, you know, college basketball players. So let's just start before we get into the picks part of this. Do you feel like, you know, from the outside, there might be generally more curiosity or, dare I say, less buzz based on a lot of these guys we just frankly haven't seen?
You know, that's really a terrific point, because this draft, everybody's talking about Wembanyama, and for good reason. But historically speaking, we're going to have less college players go in the first five than probably ever tonight. I mean, there's a chance, albeit a small one at this point, that there's only one college player taken in the first five picks. So I think certainly for the average college basketball fan, that creates a little bit less excitement. But, you know, the thing that I found the last couple of years starting to extend our evaluations to the NBA draft is there's a whole nother community of people who watch college basketball strictly for the NBA draft. Like, they just follow the draft all year long. And I think for those people, there's so much anticipation about this draft because of the star power that's in it. Wembanyama obviously being top of that, but Scoot, Miller, the Thompsons, I mean, all those guys are really pretty highly anticipated prospects here at the NBA level.
Adam, walk me through in what in your mind is worst case scenario for Victor Wembanyama. What's the worst version of him in the NBA? And we love what the ceiling is, but what could the Spurs actually get on the low end of this in a worst case scenario?
It could get a guy whose body doesn't hold up. I mean, that's the reality about every single prospect. Is we can say, you know, Wemby's the best prospect since LeBron, and plenty of people have said that, but a prospect in and of itself is not a guarantee. I mean, you remember some of the hype around guys like Yao Ming, and I'm not comparing him to Yao Ming, but, you know, different players who their bodies just didn't hold up. The comparison I use for Wemby is a taller Anthony Davis, and Anthony Davis is a player who's had a lot of injury concerns over the years and just an inability to stay consistently healthy. So I think with him in particular, the thing that's concerning is that we've never seen someone this size before. I mean, they list him at 7'4", but when you see him next to Rudy Gobert, it's clear he's bigger than that. So I'm calling him 7'5" with an 8-foot wingspan, but I don't think anybody really knows, you know, is he Sean Bradley size? We don't know. And what we do know is that we've never seen anybody this size have a ton of durability. We've also never seen anybody this size move as gracefully as he does, too. So he's really totally unprecedented in a lot of different ways. And to paraphrase what he said yesterday, because he knows he's something that's never been around before, it means his training program is something that people have never seen before. And that in and of itself means they're doing a little bit of guess and check and just kind of evolving as we go. So the worst case scenario is just that injuries become a problem for him.
A lot of buzz over the last 48 hours that Brandon Miller will go number 2 overall to the Hornets and not Scoot Henderson. Do you think that's a mistake by Charlotte?
I think you can make an argument for either prospect. What I think would be a mistake is more about the process they got to that conclusion. So both guys came in and worked out. Supposedly Scoot worked out better than Brandon did in the first round. So they bring both back in. Michael Jordan comes in for the second round of interviews. And then Brandon works out, has a better second workout. Now, for context, one of the things about Brandon that hasn't been especially well reported in recent months is he came down with mono. So while everybody else is going through this really intense pre-draft process where they're gaining weight, they're polishing their skill set every day, he's home actually losing weight. So it's not really a surprise to hear that he didn't work out tremendously well. Now, I think most of the due diligence with Brandon is based on the intel and interview and stuff like that, given all that's surrounded him in the last year. But my issue is not about Brandon over Scoot. It's about how you came to that determination. So the second pick in the draft, if this is about, well, hey, he fits better next to LaMelo Ball, well, 5 years from now, if Scoot goes on to be the better player, that's not going to be an acceptable justification. You know, nobody's saying, oh, we picked Darko Milicic because he fit better with our roster. And oh, that makes sense. You know, that's not what happens in retrospect. And then the other thing would be is if they really based it off a 1-on-0 workout on Monday, I think that would be really hard to defend. So I think Brandon and Scoot is very, very close depending on what you prioritize and what you value. But to me, it's more about the process of how you came to that determination.
Adam, you get the sense that anybody is actually still concerned, worried, anything about Miller at Alabama? Or is all of that in the past done, settled, and it's just now about basketball?
No, I think there's still concerns. I think there's a belief that there's a train of thought. They're wondering if all the legal proceedings are over from a civil perspective. I think that people have really dug into the interview. Charlotte sent a team down to Tuscaloosa to investigate that specific incident. But there have also been questions about how well he's interviewed. You know, you saw him yesterday. He's kind of a unique. He has some unique answers. I mean, yesterday he said, you know, LeBron James isn't his GOAT. That's fine. But Paul George is. And everybody's like, what? So he said those kinds of things behind closed doors in interviews to a number of teams that have raised some eyebrows. You know, so there have been questions that have come up throughout the course of the last couple of months. And again, for perspective, in high school, this guy was AAU teammates with Nick Smith, and Brandon Miller was someone who is like a freshman in high school, was already identified as like a real high upside prospect. And then he just didn't get it didn't improve as quickly as we thought. Now, that was right in the middle of COVID, and that stunted everything. But for most of high school, we viewed him as someone who wasn't improving as much as we hoped. And so there were questions about how much does he love the game and this and that. Now, all that got erased this year at Alabama because of how dominant he was. But there are a couple different threads there to pull when you're talking about making a multi-year, multi-million dollar commitment to this type of player.
Adam Finkelstein will be on CBS Sports HQ's coverage beginning at 7 p.m. tonight of the NBA draft. Adam, we are operating in a world right now where many people wildly assume outside of the top 3 picks there is a drop-off, an enormous drop-off in talent. We're also operating in a world where we're coming off an NBA Finals where the best player on either team was either the 30th overall pick or a second-round pick. Is there a guy in this draft we should be looking at that could go, you know, later on where you say keep an eye on him and his career because his ceiling is way more than, you know, maybe many expect?
Yeah, I think there's a number of what I would call high-risk, high-reward prospects, and some of them are going to hit and some of them are going to flop. And, you know, that begins with the Thompson brothers who, you know, if everything goes well, you're talking about multi-year NBA All-Stars. If everything goes, if it doesn't go well, the outcome is vastly different. Taylor Hendricks is someone that I've called attention to. You know, he's being mocked anywhere between like 5 and 12. Was a freshman at Central Florida this year, didn't even make the NCAA tournament, but can really, really checks a lot of boxes in terms of being a 3-and-D type player right off the bat with his athleticism, shot-making, and defensive mobility. But, you know, believe it or not, the player who is probably the biggest man of mystery was teammates with Victor Wembanyama in France this year, and that is a guy named Bilal Coulibaly, and he's 18 years old. He's 6'6" with a 7'2" wingspan. He's a high level athlete, really plays hard, so people really buy into his DNA. He doesn't mind contact. He's physical. That's another thing that people are really encouraged by. Now, he has improved at a rapid rate this year, and so the sample size is really, really small. So what NBA teams are trying to figure out is, you know, is this just like, is this a little bit of a tease, what we've seen in the last couple of months, or is this indicative of who he's going to be and how much he keeps improving down the road? So he's someone that right now he's being mentioned as a possible top 10 pick, which is vastly different than what we were talking about a month or two ago. And if he hits, if he keeps, if we're just finding this rate of improvement at the beginning stages and it's going to keep going, he could be someone that really hits in a big way down the road. But there's a number of these high-risk, high-reward type prospects. It's one of the things that makes this draft so intriguing.
I thought you might mention one of my favorite guys I saw in person this year, Adam, Omax Prosper from Marquette. Why do NBA teams seem to be liking him a bunch here late in the process?
So I think what you've seen with NBA teams, with Denver really leading the charge on this, is teams recognizing that in the state of the salary cap, if you can get a player in the late first round or early second, you're going to get a player who's on a very reasonable contract. So historically speaking, that's when teams have taken shots on high upside guys. Can they find the next Jokic? Can they find the next Draymond Green? Denver did it differently last year with the 21st pick. They said, hey, we're going to take Christian Brown, spelled Braun, pronounced Brown, and see if we can turn him into a rotation player at what would turn out to be a very small salary in line with the rookie ladder. It's already basically outlined what he's going to make. And that's exactly what happened. I mean, he was one of seven core players to get minutes in a team that won the NBA Finals, and he was the least expensive guy in their rotation. You saw Denver acquire a bunch of picks, early second, late first, to try and do the same this year, presumably to replace Bruce Brown, who's going to go cash in on a payday somewhere else. You saw the Celtics get a late first-round pick. So you've seen a lot of different teams start to move into that area. Golden State's another one that has basically come right out and said, hey, we're not drafting a kid anymore. We're going to get a college veteran who we think can come in. Omax Prosper, I think, falls into that category of someone who teams believe can come right into the draft and contribute for a spot in the rotation. It's not necessarily because they think he has a star-type upside. Who knows? Maybe he'll prove them wrong. But it's about the fact that he can come in, defend, be athletic enough to fit into a college game, and the fact that his offensive role doesn't have to change too much. He only averaged 12 points a game last year at Marquette, and it was Tyler Kolek's show. And in the NBA, he's going to be a secondary guy. So offensively, it's less of a transition for him than it is some of these guys who've been the focal point at every stop they've made in their career to date.
You can watch CBS Sports HQ's coverage of the NBA draft beginning 7 p.m. this evening, where Adam Finkelstein here, along with Matt Norlander, Avery Johnson, Gary Parrish, and Tim Doyle, will provide instant pick analysis and break down the storylines all night long. Now, I look at that panel, Adam. Is there anybody you think a long night you could get a little testy with in the disagreement on a prospect?
Well, I'd tell you this. Norlander's gonna be on the, like, I thought I liked Derek Lively, you know, because we ranked him out of high school. Norlander's got him like 3 on his board. Boone, I mean, I'm a UConn alum, and Boone's got Andre Jackson at like 15, and I'm like, come on, man. With like, this kid's poor family is going to start to get excited about 15. He's still got time to like run down the street before he's going to get picked. But in all seriousness, really smart team, really great guys. We've got We have a lot of fun because there's a little bit of back and forth. They got me good yesterday on the podcast. I made some reference about a football reference, and they've been on me. So there's an element of humor in it as well. But good guys, really smart, really do their due diligence. It's going to be a lot of fun today.
Now, I know Norlander a little bit. Where are you on the music front? Can you match wits with him on that, or is it just basketball between you two guys?
Yeah, I've got nothing.
Okay.
He's got the guitars hanging up there and stuff, and I'm just like, can I get you some basketballs? Maybe a jersey to hang up in there? I've got nothing on that front.
It's incredible. You can follow Adam Finkelstein on Twitter, at Adam Finkelstein. He's also the director of scouting for 24/7 Sports. I know it's going to be a long day, Adam, so I appreciate you starting the day with us, man. Take care.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thanks, Adam.
Adam Finkelstein. Pretty good breakdown there.
Well,
now Pete knows the NBA draft tonight,
right,
which is good.
Thank you.
And I thought that the last basketball answer took us back to your first question of, you know, to where to pay attention in the draft,
yeah.
That developing trend of using, you know, picks 20 through 30, so to speak,
right,
on an older player that immediately feels it, you know, kind of fills a need. That's where you might get the college basketball names that you're looking for coming back in the late in that first round.
That's true. So there'll be plenty to watch for tonight. I always enjoy the NBA draft. I don't know. I enjoy making fun of bad suits. I enjoy seeing families happy.
And as I said the other day, when I saw Wembanyama in person at Yankee Stadium, I think one of the funniest things in the world is seeing two humans at completely different sizes side by side. So give me more 6'11", 7-foot guys and Adam Silver, hip to hip.
One of the pictures I'm so regretful we didn't get a week ago was Katie Lindendahl in between He Who Should Not Be Named and Bad Lance Booker.
Oh, man.
And seeing what that size situation would have looked like. Katie may not be with us today if she took a picture in between.
You know, have we checked in with her post your announcement?
Last night.
Okay.
She was at the airport, and she said, tell me what I'm reading is not real.
Mm.
She had been checking in. She was very busy at a tech conference post Bob's
bar.
So I had called Katie, full disclosure, on Monday and Tuesday. The only guest that we've ever on the show that I felt I owed a phone call to.
Okay.
Before the news was going to break on Tuesday.
Okay.
Because I thought it would break, and like many of the listeners, I have a really good relationship with Katie. And she only found out yesterday because she'd been submitted. She goes, I missed your calls. I just assumed you were thanking me for the stuff, and we're going to talk. And, you know, so me and her are going to have to talk more this weekend, but I'm going to miss Katie as well, obviously, with the stuff we've done here.
I think that's the thing that DA is going to have to get in writing, that you can't book her on your new show. Because if
you guys get Katie in the divorce?
Well, if you go back in time, I'm pretty sure that our good friend Taz was the first person that brought Katie into this building.
Yeah.
And then DA kind of slowly pulled her away, and then Taz and Moose disappeared.
Yeah.
So it was a free-for-all. You can't have her.
There's quite a few guests, and this, again, shows this show how, like, unique it is, where there are guests that started as strictly me reaching out to them as guests, like, and they've actually become friends where we text about normal stuff. Katie Lindendahl is one of them. Jared Greenberg, another. Tyler Dunn, another one of those. All really, really good people. So obviously I'm not leaving the business. I'm still going to have a relationship with all of these people. But again, that kind of unique relationship only starts on a show like this.
And I don't want to speak for DA, but you can have Tyler, you can have Jared. You can't have Katie.
Okay. Maybe that'll be the split. Now, whoever the new producer is going to, I'm going to tell you right now, is going to need Jared and Tyler. You know, when you're sitting there at 11 p.m. going, oh, no.
No, I mean, we could find another NBA guest and another guy that has a great, it's not a Substack that Tyler writes at, but like we can find another one of them. Katie's irreplaceable.
Yeah, she is.
And she gets free gifts. I mean, that's really the thing we're looking for here.
Yeah.
And in particular, I want to, you and DA get the stuff all the time. Then Pete and I get stuff at the holidays and whatever, which is great, but I want to jump up so I can get my hands on whatever version of the remote control cooler is available next spring.
It dawned on me. You know when I'm going to get serious FOMO? When the Spooktacular comes out and I'm listening in my car like Dixieland Dan.
Oh, that's right.
I'm hearing, you know, whatever Pete is dressed as. That'll be a DA FOMO moment for me.
I had a good idea the other day for my costume, which always applies to the show, and I didn't write it down, and now it's gone.
Okay.
Good times.
All right, when we come back, we're going to toast some things, a Thirsty Thursday. I'm sure Carl is going to toast shoelaces or something. It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We're toasting to the good life.
I feel alive.
We are feeling good and doing well.
How many beers ago? Probably 1,000.
It's the DA Show's Thirsty Thursday.
Celebrating with some booskies.
Oh, baby, we're going to do some booskies. Let's start it off with Carlos with a toast. Carlos?
I'm going to toast dog walking apps.
Thanks,
Shep. Thanks, Shep, for taking the booking today. I'm going to toast dog walking apps because...
Wait. I just thought of a great name for a Shep app if he does that. Shep in your step.
What's a dog walking app, Carlos?
Literally, you can book people to walk your dog.
Okay.
So, like, I have somebody coming in at 11:30 to walk my dog because my wife is out all day. I'm doing two other things after this show today, so I'm out essentially all day.
Ooh,
that dog's
man.
Not going to walk. No, hard hat guy.
Mm-hmm.
So someone's got to walk that dog. So
it ain't going to be me, Carlos says.
So you what, leave your key somewhere? Somebody goes into your house and takes your dog?
I put it into a box. I leave the box outside. The walker has instructions to find said box. There's a code that's unique to them.
What, like you hide it somewhere?
Well, no, it's like, you know, in the front, you know, it's in the front of my house.
Okay.
You know,
well, like an Airbnb, like all those places have
little things.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a green box. But the guy takes the keys out of the box. He goes in, he grabs the dog, walk around for about half an hour, brings the dog back in, see you later, and moves on with your life. And I give him like 20-something bucks. So,
wow.
Good stuff. Hey, listen. It's either that or spend more on cleaning supplies trying to clean the crap off of my kitchen floor. So toast to the dog walking apps.
Boogies. All right. You don't have a backyard?
No, I live in an apartment building in the middle of Queens. That dog has no business being there.
I always have a tough time with that as a dog. Every dog needs a home, but man, I don't think I could have a dog without a backyard.
It's one of the guilt feelings that I have. Like,
yeah.
I want to buy a house just for that dog.
Yeah. Yeah, I get it, man.
Does it take you a long time to build up the trust to let a stranger into your house?
Oh, I don't trust these people. I hide stuff of value that, you know, away from that can
Shep.
Be seen. And I also have a camera.
Like,
so when Shep wants to come in and see,
camera's
know, what
key.
I have,
yeah.
I
we
have a camera that's pointing right at the door. So if something does go missing,
Shep.
I can just notify the company.
Let me tell you something right now. If that was the Shep app, if it was Shep in your step and you downloaded that and he came in to walk your dog, he'd be heating up Hot Pockets, taking Uncrustables out of the freezer.
Right, he'd be a squatter.
Yeah.
He'd live there.
I'll leave the pizza rolls outside so you could just warm them up.
Oh, that's unbelievable. All right, Pete, what do you got?
I am toasting the D-Aliens at Bob's Bar.
So easy.
I'm going easy there. We love you. Thank you for coming. And hopefully we have something down the line there. We visit this something similar next year.
I love it. Booskies?
Booskies!
Pete, you know, this was discussed yesterday after the show without you. We thought maybe next year backyard party at your house?
East Rockaway!
Yeah, I mean, you just toasted them, yeah. So you should have no problem,
well,
right?
I gotta build a bar first.
No bar. We'll put out some patio furniture.
Oh, yeah, that's not gonna go over well.
Huh? Mm. Well, you just toasted. I think you'd be very more than welcome to have in your backyard.
I would enjoy that opportunity, but I don't have the necessary stuff.
So it's just logistics. It's not logistics, welcoming these people into your property.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. Okay. Interesting. All right, Schwartz, who are we toasting?
I am toasting Victor Wembanyama. I feel like the two of us got off to a bad start a few weeks ago. And if I'm going to have to report on him on these updates and potentially talk about him on shows, I feel like I owe him an apology because I didn't know who he was. You know, we don't give French basketball scores on CBS Sports Radio or on the WFAN updates.
I literally had
no idea who he was until I saw a tweet about him. So I want to apologize to Victor. I want to toast him and congratulate him on being the number one pick in tonight's NBA draft.
Booski.
That's very nice of you, Schwartz. To the Victor go the spoils, huh?
Oh. Mm. To the Victor go the Spurs? No?
Whoa.
Not bad.
Not funny.
Oh. See, Morty doesn't have to leave.
See, it was a tangled web that I had to go through.
All right. Everyone can do it.
Wow. Boy, headlines tomorrow should be no big deal, huh?
If you can do it, Tuba could do it too.
Oh, Wembanyama. What's my name?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We're good now.
All right. San Antonio, oh no.
Thanks for asking, Sean. Second straight week, I'm going to toast people who can't actually enjoy a booski. I'm going to toast both of my kids. Today, I'm running out of this place at 10 whatever to get home because my daughter graduates, air quotes, from sixth grade, moving up to middle school. So we get an afternoon ceremony back on Long Island, in Long Island. Got to get there in a hurry. And tomorrow, my kid's
got his... on. You were right the first time.
Tomorrow, my kid, weather permitting, has his first district baseball game. He made a little our neighborhood all-star team playing other neighborhoods. Hoping to advance outside of our little nook of Long Island, but we'll see. But got his uniform last night with the Little League patch on the sleeve, his name on the back, his own hat with his number on it.
There you go.
It says All-Star on it.
That's
pumped.
That's great.
You know what? You need to start muttering and act like a nickname is born. You got to start calling him Jake the Rake.
Well, they call him Jake the Snake, and he doesn't get
like he's always hit.
Yeah, that's more baseball sense. But the problem with Jake the Snake, they don't understand the Jake the Snake Roberts reference.
Jake the Snake was a heel. You know, I'm sure people love your kid.
Yeah.
Oh, does he have heelish tendencies?
Is he
Jake
fast?
Jake the Snake was a face, too.
He's quick.
Jake the Quake?
No, Jake the Rake is better.
Okay.
Just call him Rake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Rake Bogish is a good,
sports
name. That's a good old strapping American name.
Hopefully he can bog down and do a good job.
Mm. It's not funny.
I like there's something there.
Yeah, in the land of Jake Believe. Anyway, I'm going to toast Knockout Neil / Eric with a K. You know, when I showed up... When I showed up 6 days ago at Bob's Bar and I parked my car on my own because Gelb wasn't there yet, I said to myself, well, I'm not seeing my car again until Saturday. I'm going to have to, you know, get back and my wife dropped me off and I'll get the car. But thanks to Knockout Neil and Eric with a K, I had to essentially stop drinking to make sure nothing went awry. So I didn't wake up Saturday with a hangover. I also woke up with my car on my own driveway. You know, now it could be my last ever true event where I was a part of the show and could hang out with listeners and drink and have a really good time. I didn't get to experience that because I had to worry about a guy who wouldn't sit the freak down and kept spitting in my face, talking really close, or then bumping into me as I tried to eat my egg sandwich, and then kept basically putting his arms around me to the point it was too much. Now, that was all great, but I really am toasting the fact that I didn't wake up with a hangover and I could drive my car to my house. You know, again, would have been great to really get drunk with Steven Severna Park or, you know, show Moist Pork how moist I can get. That would have been great.
Hey, now.
Or maybe drink some of Gloria Splat's Kona Big Waves he was generous to bring me. But again, I had to stop to make sure that nothing got out of control. So I want to toast Neil. Thank you, bud. By the way, Neil did apologize, so I should point that out. But I've been waiting.
Can he apologize for putting his tongue in my ear?
Yeah. So there you go. That's your Thirsty Thursday. 855-212-4227.
I had one of Gloria Splat's Konas because they're delicious. But
yeah,
he wasn't drinking them. He had some kind of, I think he said it was Japanese beer that almost was coming out of like a mini champagne bottle that he was pouring just for himself.
Biggest upset, Gloria Splat, a good guy.
So I said this week that I didn't, that Moise Porg didn't
look. Not a
look,
jerk in person. No. Beerboard warrior.
Moise Porg didn't look as regal as I was expecting.
Yeah.
I would have never thought Gloria Splat looked like that, too. Regular guy, good guy, doesn't match the persona.
No. And he was very upset that Cap had already revealed his identity as Eric and Nova on.
Right.
Yeah. And Cap played dumb. I don't remember doing that. I mean, Cap, we all have the text.
Cap got some strong hamstrings because, you know, he backs it up so much.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So there you go. Either way, it was a fun time. And look, Neil, we can't encourage drinking at a bar and then when a guy gets too drunk, kill the guy. So it was not, but, you know, there comes a point in time where you get a feel for the room.
I mean, there is.
You don't need 17 Twisted Teas before, if you can't handle, you got to know how you handle yourself.
Yeah, if you want to be that messed up at 8 p.m. because you've been drinking since 6 a.m., that I can understand. But to be in that state as fast as he was, I think is where the concern comes in.
Or there's different kinds of inebriated, right? Like everybody handles their, you could be.
Randy
like,
in Alabama.
Right.
Was fine. Great. Right.
Fun and giggly is fine. But
well,
like
he asked me the same question four times.
Okay, that did happen. Yes.
To the point where you're aggressive.
Yeah.
Ugh, the worst. And then everybody looking at me, you know, Bob's bar, Sean, you organize this, take care of this. Oh, great. So I had to handle that. That was fun. Okay, I'll stop ranting now. It is a Thirsty Thursday. All right, Stephen Saverna Parks says, good morning, Sean and Andrew. I'm toasting our dogs. They love us no matter what. Toasting all of the ones with us and those who have moved on. Love them. Hashtag Booskies. Jeez, Steve.
Booskies.
Don't make me cry there.
Great guy, Steve.
Joe Mama tweets, and I trashed my broken wrist on Tuesday, so toast to having of work?
Off of work.
Yeah, that's Joe what Mama. It is.
Come on, man.
Missing an F.
Dixieland Dan, toast to you, Meraz. I truly believe the DA show would not be where it is without you. Great member of the mothership and going to be greatly missed. I consider you a good friend, even if we've never met. Thank you, Meraz. We Dalians wish you nothing but the happiness, my friend. I appreciate that, Dan.
Booski!
I do consider you a friend as well. Adam, the former bath guy, not the current one, says, I'm toasting my soon-to-be 19-year-old daughter for completing her first year of university, all while working and earning her own money. Hashtag making daddy proud.
Booski.
Good for you, Adam.
How about Mariana?
Should we ask Adam if she's hot enough for Boyle?
I'm toasting to my toddler. Yesterday, he ate his first entire cheeseburger. He didn't even pick it apart, just ate the whole thing like a real human. Hashtag sodium with puffiness.
Booski.
Like a real human. I've been there, too. You forget that your kids are human beings.
They forget that you are.
I remember when Taylor finally went on the potty. I was like, look, she went in the bathroom like a real human.
Unlike
just
her dad.
For the first time.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can do it too, Daddy. I promise.
Exactly.
They're training you.
Yeah. Wolf Stars, Waiha Nakawizi, a.k.a. Mike, tweets in, I'm toasting all the amazing pictures people shared from Friday's Bob's Bar Show. Thanks all who did that. I hope the tradition somehow continues. Hashtag Bob's Bar Show 3. As we said, we're going to work on that with DA. If we want it to continue, people are going to have to pitch in and do a little more help.
Is there a third sister DA could marry to get back in the... Like, what?
And I should toast my sisters as well. I think them and my parents, like, those eggs didn't cook themselves. There was a lot of cleaning up that went into it. I really do thank my whole family for doing it. I think it almost goes because we're doing the show unnoticed. Like, the thing needs to operate with, for lack of a better term, employees of Bob's Bar, and they served as that?
No, they're amazing. I don't know how you came out of the four of them.
We're all a little screwed up, let's be honest.
But they're
we all
they're
can put
not
on a good
you.
Show.
Yeah, but like you, one sister was inside working, like legitimately working.
Yeah.
The other one has, like a really good job.
Yeah, she banged out, a little sick day.
So like, they're both married, I think. Well, one of them
one's
still
lives about
at home, right?
to get married. She's still living at home.
Okay.
But there's talks to break her contract with home and get out to somewhere else.
But has she been home longer than you were home?
She's 30.
Okay.
I was out at 24.
All right, so that's a tough sell.
Right.
You at least were down the block at some point.
Yeah.
But I still think they live in a like under normal parameters. Like all of them have a handle of what languages are spoken in what country and freshwater, salt water.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. No, we're functional adults.
They are. Like, they don't have accidents.
I mean, I'm a functional adult. First of all, everybody has accidents. And anybody tells you they've never had an accident is lying.
No, they don't. No one else has done what you've done twice.
You've never trusted a fart wrongly.
I have never had to run away from a microphone and throw underpants out.
That's what I'm talking about. Okay, sorry that hasn't happened to you at work. I'm talking about in life.
No.
Yeah, in life.
Couch, out at the park.
Yeah.
Schwartz, come on.
Yeah, in life.
You've had...
No, yes, of course.
Okay, see, Schwartz is admitting to it. You're
great.
Lying,
I'm glad you have. I'm glad you have company.
I know that Bilotti has made in his pants before.
Click no. a pen. One no. pen is, yes, I have. Two clicks is, no, I haven't, doofus.
Why do you think Eric Enova's name is Glorious Splat? He relates.
Apparently, he's proud of it, too, if it's glorious.
Come on, Carlos. You brag a lot about some of the food you eat, right? Yeah, huevos rancheros? You're not running for the hills?
Well, first of all, I'm not Mexican, but I will enjoy it.
Thank you for your racism as well.
Thanks for your cultural sensitivity. But yes, at like 2 o'clock in the morning, you might feel like, oh, I thought that was air, and I have to run out.
But you get to the bathroom, don't you?
Like a functioning adult. A real functioning adult.
Yeah. We've all had to rush
the name of Schwartz's biography. All right, let's... Before we get Pete a heart attack, let's get to the update.
It is draft night in the NBA. The Howard 20
forward center Victor Wembanyama.
Wembanyama. Victor Wembanyama. Yes, that guy expected to go number one to the Spurs, and he was asked yesterday about the hype surrounding him.
No. You know, I don't let all this stuff get into my head because I got such high expectations for myself that I'm immune to all this stuff. So no, I really don't care.
The Hornets will have the second pick, the Blazers third, then the Rockets and Pistons will round out the top five. The Celtics, Wizards, and Grizzlies reportedly agreed to a 3-team trade that sends center Kristaps Porzingis to the Celtics, guard Marcus Smart to the Grizzlies, and guard Tyus Jones to the Wizards. And the Nuggets will reportedly acquire
Wembanyama.
I'm done with him already. Victor Wembanyama.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, try it. Go ahead.
Wembanyama. Having a problem with the signal from France. Wembanyama.
Yeah.
Peter, you broke up there. Try it again. I don't know if it's your internet or not. Try one more.
Victor Wembanyama.
Oh, good time.
Yeah. Sure you want to go down the hall?
Fair point.
Yeah.
Fair point.
Nuggets will reportedly acquire the 29th and 32nd.
Brian Windhorst on TV right now looks exactly how I looked at a suit the other day. Can't get that top button.
You were not that pale, though.
Cannot get that top button. Yeah.
Yeah.
He looks like Paul Bearer from the old WWE right now.
Is he okay?
Of course he is. He birthed Undertaker and Kane.
Was he working the phones all night? He looks yellow.
Right.
Somebody jaundice.
Somebody tell Wendy the Marcus Smart trade's not that important.
The Nuggets will reportedly acquire the 29th and 32nd overall picks in tonight's draft from the Pacers in exchange for a 2024 first-round pick and the 40th overall pick tonight. This college basketball news this morning, Duke head coach Danny Hurley has reportedly agreed to a new 6-year contract that will guarantee him almost $33 million. That new deal will put him among the highest paid coaches in the nation, now under contract through the 28-29 season. Now to baseball. Let's start in San Francisco.
Two strikes to count. Here it is. Swing. Line drive right center field. That's going to get in there. Base hit. Peterson around third heading home. Here comes a long throw to third from Tatis way offline as Yastrzemski's in there safely. And the hits just keep on coming for the Giants.
John Miller, Giants Radio. Giants have made it 10 in a row. They beat the Padres 4-2. Now in Arizona.
McGill look at second and now the 0-2. Curveball. That's hit in the air. Right center down for a base hit. Pavin's going to be waved around third and he will score another RBI for Rivera. And it's now 5-1 Diamondbacks.
How did John Sterling get in the Diamondbacks radio booth?
I don't know.
That's unbelievable.
He's everywhere.
He's amazing. Diamondbacks over the Brewers 5-1. Also yesterday, you had the Dodgers beat the Angels 2-0. Rangers over the White Sox 6-3. The Yankees beat the Mariners 4-2. So obviously John Sterling was able to get a very quick flight to Arizona after calling that game. Astros beat the Mets 10-8. You had the Blue Jays over the Marlins 6-3. Hockey, Henrik Lundqvist, Mike Vernon, Pierre Turgeon, Tom Barrasso, among those elected to the Hockey Hall of Fame. And now, it's time to get stunned.
Webinyama.
Let's go. Let's go.
It doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
Yeah, I think sometimes in life as you get older, the way you get paid for your job becomes a little different. Like you start out, maybe you deliver newspapers, you got paid in cash.
Yes.
You know, certain oddball jobs, you get paid in cash, right?
Yeah.
Then you get like real jobs somewhere down the road and you get paid with a check.
Right.
And now more modern times, we get paid direct deposit.
Direct deposit. Beautiful
right
thing.
Right into your bank. Like you don't have to go cash a check, sign anything. The money goes in.
Well, love it.
This comes from Atlanta. You won't believe it.
Okay.
The owner of an auto repair shop who paid a former employee with 91,500 oily pennies has been ordered by a judge to pay nearly 4 million more cents. A federal judge ruled that Miles Walker, who owns AOK Walker Auto Works in Peachtree City, Georgia, owes $39,934 to 9 workers for unpaid overtime and damages. Attorneys for Walker agreed to the payments to settle a civil lawsuit brought by the U.S. Labor Department accusing Walker of retaliating against former employee Andreas Flatten in 2021. Flatten filed a complaint with an agency saying Walker owed him a final $915 paycheck. The employer dumped that amount in oil-covered pennies in Flatten's driveway. The mountain of loose change came with a pay stub signed with an expletive.
Didn't we do this original story in Stunt in 2021?
So, this is my fault. I saw this as an update yesterday, and I meant to tell whoever's going to be here today that we had done, we did the original story.
I'm having deja vu.
Yeah, we did the story where this $915 in pennies was dumped on the driveway.
And
this
now
is the follow-up to that, that being a jerk that day has now cost him $40,000.
So it's okay to give the update.
No, it is. Yeah, I'm just making sure it's the same story that I'm having flashbacks to 2 years ago about.
Yeah.
So you have to pay. And by the way, so damages is what? The fact that you made them wait that long for the money?
What I didn't fully see was the timeline, whether because he was a jerk that led other people to go after him or this was all happening at the same time. But I guess the damages are, that like you didn't pay me, therefore I missed out on some extra cash.
Wow.
Right.
There's nothing worse than not getting paid at a job. Nothing worse. Pay your employees. They are not servants. Pay your employee. And come on, you're going to be a jerk to somebody because they want their money and dump oily pennies on their driveway? I have no time for somebody like that. Frankly, they should owe more money.
Well, they do. Walker agreed to pay nearly $8,700 more to Flatten and owed overtime and damages. 8 other workers are to receive amounts between
Before you finish that, he's screwing employees that bad. Could you imagine what he's doing to you as the customer? We've all been at these auto shops.
Oh, yeah.
Where you need something else replaced. If I hear one more time about my cabin filter. I mean,
you have to have trust in your mechanic. It's hard to find one.
This guy definitely screws over his employees left and right. And I mean, his patrons.
Got it.
You know?
You got to change the differential fluid in your car.
Yeah, the differential fluid.
Oh, when I first started driving, I took the car to my first oil change. I took it to a Jiffy Lube.
Oh, boy.
And the guy comes out and goes, everything is fine, except you really should change your differential fluid. Now, I didn't know anything better. So I said, okay, change it. That was like $30, whatever it was, right? And I came home. My father, may rest in peace, said to me, how did everything go with the oil change? I said, it was great. And, you know, and the really nice guy there said the differential fluid had to be changed.
Oh,
and he said, are you stupid?
That's incredible.
So I learned at a very young age that if they ever tell you to change your differential fluid, don't do it because your father will yell at you.
I was today years old knowing that's not a real thing.
Unreal.
I do it all the time, every 6 months.
Well, now I know not to look out for that.
You know who shouldn't change the differential fluid? The Cincinnati Reds. We discuss them next.
Yeah.
The A Show on CBS Sports Radio.
It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Oh, happy Thirsty Thursday on the Daw. The old da 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 da. How about the Reds, man? 11-game win streak. I believe the NL record is 26 straight wins set by the 1916 Giants. And then the Cleveland Indians at the time had that amazing win streak, the American League record at 22. So we're 11 wins away from what would have been the American League record of a few years ago, but the Reds in the National League. This is kind of amazing, man. They flipped their season. This is a team, as we mentioned, they traded their ace last year. They are a fun story, bad division, still only, what, 6 games over .500. But the question, Bogus, is when does this win streak end? And unfortunately, I think it's this weekend because they play the Atlanta Braves.
Yeah. I think the bigger question is, does it become an 11-game losing streak? Because that's what the A's have just done.
Yeah.
Gone from 7 up to 7 down. The Pirates had the great April, a crappy May, and now June all of a sudden has turned into like an 8-game skid or a 9-game skid at this point. I think that's the question for the Reds. This has been amazing. At some point, they're going to be a very, very good team in that division in the National League. But do they have real staying power now in 2023? That's the question. I think this entire division sits basically goes this way the entire time, where just a game or two above 500 might be good enough to steal it. So that plays in their favor. But, I mean, they're clearly going to come back down to earth. It's just how far back down do they come?
There was a person who had like $1.62 left in one of their betting app accounts that placed a futures bet before the season on all 6 division winners in baseball, including the Texas Rangers and Arizona Diamondbacks, and included the Cincinnati Reds.
Really?
Right now, all 6 are the ones in the lead. They are offering, and I forget whatever gambling partner this is, for $1.62 a cash out of north of $8,000 right now. The payout, if he does not take it and it all hits by the end of the year, is $1.12 million.
No, you got to let it ride.
$8,000 is nothing to sneeze at for a buck, bro.
You cash out.
No, I
the
let
Reds
it ride.
Are not winning
I put one a dollar down.
The argument being
Let's
you'll
roll.
Never have another chance this close to win $1 million in your life. But man, that could go upside down. Can all 6 division winners from this moment forward win the division? If it is, and this guy doesn't cash out or female cash out, he would win over $1 million. That's incredible. And that's what the Cincinnati Reds have done to people here. All right, we come back. Joe Theismann on the Commanders tape change. The DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
You're in a 5-minute break. Four minutes, 30 seconds remaining. Minutes remaining. Three minutes, 30 seconds remaining. 3 minutes remaining. Minutes, 30 seconds remaining. Minutes remaining. Minute, 30 seconds remaining. Minute remaining. Seconds remaining. Seconds remaining. 15 seconds. 5 seconds.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.